Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with my co-host in crime, the man, the myth, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, sir, it is good to be with you, radio yet again.
Yep, as always.
How are you?
This is not moonshine. This is water, actually. If people want
some of that,
if people,
cinnamon moonshine.
If people who are watching us on YouTube, I have a mason jar glass full of water right
now. It is the universal sign of
it is,
you know,
true.
Anytime you see a clear liquid in a mason jar, you're like, what's going on there? What's happening there?
Yeah.
Anyway. No, we don't need, especially with today's topic, we don't need anything to inhibit our. our thoughts and our speech. So we're going to be stone cold sober today.
Well, right.
We're sober all the time. Let's be
right,
clear. Let's be very clear.
Right. True.
Yes, for the kids listening. Yes, but no moonshine in the mason glass today. Jack, how are you, my friend? It is good to see you.
Yeah, doing well. Pretty interesting and lively Monday on the work side of things, but
Yeah.
Yeah, as always.
Very good. So. Very good. I'm doing well as well. Lord's Day was good. Talking to quite a few individuals about membership, which is really cool. We've got some people coming down the pipeline, wanting to get baptized, hop into membership. I'm excited. It's a good time. It's a good
You know
time.
What's funny? Every time I know, God, you'll have to remind me, but every time I see one of your elders' names, who I basically, he's like Baker Mayfield's.
Colton. Pastor Colton.
Dude, yeah. Every time I look at him, it's like Baker Mayfield, man.
It's Baker Mayfield up there preaching. Yeah.
His doppelganger, dude.
Exactly.
I think you took a picture of it. Of like just the Lord's Day stuff.
Yeah,
and he was up there. Was he like doing like a.
He was preaching.
Okay. He was preaching.
Yep.
Yeah. Looks straight up like Baker Mayfield to me.
So. Well, I know for him especially, like that's a compliment. Baker Mayfield's not the worst looking guy. So
apparently
compliments all around.
He may or may not be a believer too.
Really?
Well, that would I've be been cool. hearing some more than interesting things from him lately.
So well, that would be great.
I mean, that being I'm Baker all Mayfield, for that. Not Colton.
Yes, Colton, yeah, no, Colton is a certified card carrying believer. Yeah,
let's be honest,
he is. Yeah, yeah. Unlike maybe some other pastors in that are in leadership these days. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, Jack, we've got some good stuff to talk about today. But as always, it is time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
That's right. It's time for a new segment. And remember, kids, don't it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And Jack, I have some choice meats for you today, my friend. I am looking forward to these. I've got one church one, right? And then another. I'm bringing you back to like, it's like, you remember in the early days of the Reformatory, Corey on culture, right?
Oh yeah.
This is like Captain like Captain Jack on Christian culture. Okay. That's what this is. So I've got something pretty special for you. But we're gonna start with this one, Jack. I want you to tell me, what would you do if you showed up to a Lord's Day service and you see your pastor standing up on stage in a cutoff t-shirt wrestling another dude?
Come on, Jordan, come over here. You're a professional fighter here. Come over here and punch the back. Show somebody what a professional looks like hitting something here. Let's watch this here. He's ducking here, huh? Yeah. What if I come up behind you? Now. He tapped out.
Okay.
No, he did not. First off, no, he did not.
Yeah. He did not tap. First off, there's a lot to talk about in this video. Okay. The first thing that I would like to start dissecting, if I may. I'm going to
come on,
play
Jordan,
this
come
one
over
more
here.
Time.
You're a professional fighter here.
Okay. Professional fighter. Okay. And then
can we talk about the way he punches?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. Okay?
Come on, professional fighter. Back. Show somebody what a professional looks like hitting something here. Let's watch this here.
Oh, what in world is happening? Yeah.
This dude is not a professional fighter.
Why does he punch that way?
I don't know why he is punching the way that he's punching. Okay, I guarantee you, he pulled this guy like out of his congregation. He put out a poll on Facebook, and he was like, "Hey, any dudes who are like into MMA, like I want to see something. Hit me up." And this guy's like, "Yeah, dude, I've been fighting my whole life. I'm a professional fighter."
I feel like they hired a stuntman for this bit because they're a mega church. They hired a stuntman so that he would act a certain way.
Yeah.
And then the pastor did not tap.
And then he just starts wrestling him on stage.
Why?
This is so my young adults, I think I might have talked about this before. The young adults in my church taught me a new saying, and it's part of the new Gen Z slang, right? And I like it. It's if something gives you the ick.
Oh yeah, the ick. Yeah.
The ick, right? Yeah, this gives me the ick.
Yeah.
I look at this and I'm like,
version of a red flag.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's cringeworthy and makes me, I don't like it. Right.
Oh yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I would leave this church on this day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's fun. Jack, I'm about to introduce you to peak childhood Christian media. Jack, this, my friend, I would like to introduce you to my friend from old that still haunts my dreams, Salty the Singing Hymnal.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't play hide and seek from the Lord who loves you. Don't play hide and seek from the Lord who loves you, because you can't hide from God.
Don't play hide and seek from the Lord who loves you.
All right. Is that
a threat?
I feel like it's a threat. You know what I thought of when I heard this? And I came home and I had to edit it really quick. It was like, you know, this is scary enough, but what if you were walking down a dark corridor in your church? The lights are off. Light at the end flickering, right? And you just start to hear.
Don't play. See from the Lord who loves you. Yeah.
That's so creepy.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
If balloons are showing up like it, I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm running out of there. Yeah. I'm trying to get out of that building.
You'll worship too. You'll worship too.
Well, Jack, that was Salty the Singing Hymnal, my friend. Welcome to Christian childhood. I'm giving you the childhood you never had. All right. You should be happy. You should be thankful.
I'm fine with the childhood that I had, to be quite honest.
Jack's like, I'm fine with my Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
X-Men.
You know. You had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men. We had Bible Man and Salty. We are not the same. Okay. Yeah, true. We are not the same. But just wait till I introduce you one of these days to Last Chance Detectives. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Peak media. Anyway, Jack, that is this week's Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. As always, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to be sending Jack and I your submissions to our new segment. We love classic Christian media like this, as well as local church shenanigans. We take everything and anything, and we will feature it on Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagram. So thank you all for listening. And Jack, my friend, it is time now to get in to this week's topic. And this week is it's an interesting one because it was sparked by some goings-ons on the socials, right, that kind of lean into things that we've talked about before, but I think it's important to bring up in a greater context, right? So the context that to provide context for today's episode, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, whether it's something in the water or something going around, like it's like what's the M. Night Shyamalan movie with Mark Wahlberg where the trees literally like kill people? It's not signs.
Oh my gosh.
It's
The
Happening. Yes. The Happening.
Yeah.
It's like The Happening, right? Something's in the trees, right? Old Drisky Business gets brought up again, right? And this time it was by a journalist named Megan Basham.
Yes.
Okay. Over on the Twitter, over on the X. Basically, let's
was it her that started this, or was it Michael Foster who started it?
It might have been Foster that said it,
or at least it commented.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up. I should have had this pulled up. I should have had this pulled up before. Why don't you give us context while I'm trying to find it?
Yeah. So the biggest thing, as Josh pulls this tweet up, it's really talking about how I think Foster was going on about, you know, I don't agree with everything that Mark said and has done in the past, but we kind of agree. I think he had Michael Foster pretty big in the patriarchy kind of arena.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think he had him on his podcast, or he interviewed him or something along those lines. And Michael Foster basically said something that, like, Mark Driscoll isn't that bad of a guy. and then it was followed up by some tweets by Megan Basham that were criticizing Christianity Today, the podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, which I don't know if you and I have actually like gone into retrospect about that podcast a whole lot, but it came out maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 4 years ago ish. And it was coming at it from a couple different angles. It was coming at it from a theological angle and a whole bunch of other angles.
Yeah.
I don't think it really did it justice to where. There were parts of it that I liked, but I don't think it did it justice to where I think it should have gone.
Sure.
And so we there's kind of ended up with Megan Basham saying she was criticizing Christianity Today because they were sponsored during that podcast by BetterHelp, which is like a therapy, an online therapy kind of company.
Right. And it sponsors literally every single podcast ever. If you listen to any podcast, you know what BetterHelp is.
And so she was criticizing BetterHelp for being LGBTQ affirming and all this other stuff and yada, yada, yada. And saying like, I'm going to go through this rise and fall, you know, podcast with fine tooth comb or something along those lines. But the fact of the matter is like, it seemed like, she was saying that Mark did not have due process or something along those lines, or there's a whole bunch of other things that were flying around Mark and the way that he left and stuff like that.
Right.
And honestly, like we can address those and bring those up as well. Cause, I was there at the implosion, one of the Mars Hill churches. So we can talk about that and stuff along those lines, but
So it took me a minute to find it because I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that tweets more than this lady. I had to go way down, but basically her tweet was this: returning to Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. And what I'm mostly struck by right now is that most of what Driscoll is saying in these first couple episodes anyway, seems evidently true. And she goes, and then after that, and MacArthur saw issues way before people like Christianity Today, and they skewered him for it. And then it resulted in basically a bunch of many people hopping on that train and justifying, in some cases, not all. Again, we don't want to be you know, Reformed People's Magazine here. And this really isn't the main point of the podcast, but we're giving context, right? Like you said, hopping on that train, justifying either things that were said or done in certain ways because of where Mark currently falls politically and the things that he has said in the past that go against kind of where our culture is politically, right? A lot of the things that he did and said are either attempted to be justified or downplayed because he was right in some things, right? And that is the... I would say that's the part that is scary to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this and then I can throw it over to you. The thing that scares me the most about when we start to dissect things like this, right, is the amount of things that I have seen. And it's not just in this case. I've seen this happen a lot. Right. People locking arms with individuals that are very, very either disqualified or very, very theologically, I would say, incorrect because they align with their political ideologies. Right. We've seen it with Driscoll. We see it with guys like Jordan Peterson. Right. We see it.
Oh, man.
Right.
By the way, too.
Did you see that video? Did you see the wreck? Oh, my goodness. The 30 atheists versus a Christian, and he won't even admit that he's a Christian, and he's not, right? Yeah. And that's why he won't admit it, right? We see it right now with that big Christian nationalist guy that's all over the place. I can't remember his name. He's got the podcast. You know who I'm talking about? The guy with the goatee.
Guy with the goatee.
Yeah. What is he, Voldemort? I can't remember his name. Like he goes by like righteous something on Twitter. Like the he's like the
righteous,
main guy.
Righteous Response.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, yeah, I can't remember his name. Joel something.
Joel Webbin.
Webbin, that guy. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's another one, right? That you might agree with him politically, but he's got some theological stuff that's wacko, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we even saw it in just to kind of tie it to the Pacific Northwest. So many people may or may not heard or have seen this on the news that there was some sort of rally at a Seattle park that had Jesus flags.
That's right. That's
and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of commotion about that and how Antifa and other, you know, trans affirming groups came in and busted up this Christian rally.
Right.
Well, the problem is that the guy behind that and the church behind that affirms Benny Hinn and has been open about affirming Benny Hinn. So...
So in that particular instance, it was The Pursuit, right?
Yes.
And it got a lot of traction, right? And you had a lot of people online saying, "Hey, we need to rally around this church because they are being persecuted by the city of Seattle. Their rights are being violated, and we need to come around these brothers and sisters," right? And here's where we fail as a church to identify multiple things being true at once. Mm-hmm. Right? Was it wrong for the mayor to respond the way that he did? Yes, I believe it was. I believe it was, right? It's obvious that Washington is a more liberal, a very liberal state, and Seattle is kind of the, I mean, it's like the Hunger Games capital. It's district 1 or 2 or whatever it is, right? Everyone knows this. We're not surprised that Antifa is against anything that has the label Christianity on it. Okay. That can be true. That is true. They should have the right to protest the way that they want because that's the rules of America, right? You should be able to do that, right? The problem is we have so many people in this environment, in this culture that we live in, because I believe this is what the culture wants you to do. And I believe that Satan has utilized the political landscape that we find ourselves in to distract Christians from how they should be thinking and evaluating situations, right? If you live in a culture that is constantly viewing things and evaluating things through a political mindset, a political landscape, a political lens, you're going to have great trouble with not doing that yourself unless you put up the scriptural barriers that you need to be able to live a life that doesn't view things through the culture, doesn't view things through politics, it views things through the truth of scripture.
Yeah.
And we have a problem in the churches today that we don't know how to do that. So you get instances where we see something political going on and we say, we got to rally around this church, rally around these people, right? And like Jack just said, the problem with that is that this particular church preaches a false gospel.
Yeah.
They preach a prosperity gospel. This was the church that had Benny Hinn come to their Easter service.
Bro, it was, I think preach, it was, all right? Was it when you were living in Everett? It was right down the road from Josh.
Yeah. I saw the banners for like 6 months, Benny Hinn coming to Everett, Washington, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to support that. They are not my brothers. They are not my sisters, right?
Yeah,
they are in error. They are in error. Deep
they need to
gospel.
Repent.
I will say the prosperity gospel, demonic error, right? And we need to understand and realize that we should be going through this life, looking at it, evaluating it through the lens of scripture, not politics. And that needs to affect who we're willing to affirm, who we're willing to lock arms with, who we're willing to do ministry alongside, and who we're willing to send people to, knowing that they are going to be influenced by those people, right? And that's where this conversation kind of sparked with the whole Driscoll thing, is you have people saying, well, because we agree with him politically, he's okay to listen to, he should be given, you know, a voice, he was right, look at all the things he was right about. Let's be very clear. Driscoll is a disqualified leader
who's unrepentant
in his sin, has abandoned his church, fled church discipline in order to establish himself somewhere else.
Yep.
All right. We see in scripture at a certain point, again, like it's not ours to say ultimately, only God knows the heart. But an unrepentant sinner who is living in unrepentant sin, there is cause to question the salvation of that person. Right? And I'm not saying that I think Driscoll is an unbeliever. At best, he is a self-deceived believer.
Right? Yeah, and I think the problem too is the fact in which people even know Driscoll at all.
Mm-hmm.
They think that somehow, some way, he got he got pushed out of his church. No. That's not what happened. No. He got found guilty of sin and was held accountable. Literally, guys, he wasn't fired. He was not fired.
No, he wasn't fired.
He was basically said, hey, all of the pastors who basically were on this investigation to see if the charges were true, if he was being unbiblical as an elder, mainly from what we have talked about before in the past, like the epistles to 1 Timothy and Titus, did he violate those particular founding kind of, I would say, ways in which you are qualifications to which you are a pastor? And they found that yes, he did.
And it's
been repeated over and over again, one way or the other.
Well, and he wasn't, to further your point, right? Upon finding him guilty, he was not pushed out. He was placed on a plan of reconciliation and restoration.
Everybody at Mars Hill at the time, and I can say this because I'm a former member and I have known this in the past, everybody at Mars Hill at the time wanted him to be restored. They said, we can't go on as Mars Hill Church unless it's Mark.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which in and of itself, major red flags and problems, obviously.
Sure.
But it goes against the narrative that he was pushed out.
Yeah. But he, for him to be paranoid and to say that somehow, you know, he's gone on TV, the Lord said that a trap was set for me.
A trap was laid against me.
Nah, baby. You did bad all by yourself.
you stepped in that bear trap yourself.
You did crazy all by yourself on that. Like, set yourself up. So he was saying that, oh, somehow God spoke to me and he told me that a trap was going to be set and I was going to be... Are you saying that accountability is a trap? Because that's even a more like dastardly way of saying that accountability is a trap. And if that's his mindset, that's a terrible mindset. And he's been operating out of that mindset ever since he left Seattle.
Well, so, to those that do not want accountability, any amount of accountability is going to be a cage instead of the freedom that it actually is. Right. And that's how it was with Mark. Right. And we've seen that with many, many other pastors. So it's not just a problem with Mark, but this conversation brings up the greater issue that both Jack and I have concerns about is how quickly our culture, and it sneaks into reform culture too, of all people, right, who are supposed to be the most theologically precise and care the most about living sola scriptura, coming, you know, this life being ruled and lived by the authority of Scripture, we're supposed to be at the front of that line with the things that we confess, but it seems like we are at the front of a different line, and that's let's lock arms with people who agree with how we should be fighting the culture war instead of the war that we are called to fight for the souls of men and women. And those are two different wars. And I know there's people that disagree with that, but I would say you're wrong.
Well, yeah. And on top of it too, I think we're willing to lock arms with people that we may not find. we're willing to whitewash them in order to dunk on these people that we don't like.
Right.
That we know that we can come against them in this way. And
sure.
I don't think that in and of itself is not helpful.
Well, so. And maybe I'm just old fashioned, dude. I have an old fashioned way of thinking of things, but like you'll come across clips where Mark Driscoll, he's a great communicator. Like I've always given him that, right? He's excellent communicator. You'll see clips where he'll demolish some like liberal way of thinking or way of viewing things, right? And he'll use the Bible to do it and be like, yeah, I mean, what you said isn't wrong. But you'll have people that will share him, send people to him because he says something correct politically. And maybe I'm old fashioned, but if you've disqualified yourself, if you have a track record of not being biblical, not responding biblically, not viewing things through a biblical lens, but rather either personal or a cultural or a political lens, I don't really care if you say something right. I'm not going to send people to you. I'm not going to share your stuff. I'm not going to associate you with you. I'm not going to lock arms with you because I disagree with how you go about the important things. Why would I send people to you for the secondary things if I know that you're screwy on the primaries? Mm-hmm. Right. And I really have tried to wrap my mind around the logic behind it. You know, like it would be like me at this point, again, not to dig up like sore subjects. It'd be like at this point, me sharing a quote from Stephen Lawson or Josh Bice.
Mm.
Like I found this really encouraging. Like, why would you do that? They have both disqualified themselves, both for different reasons.
Yeah.
But because I agree with something that they said, I'm going to at the end of the day, Jack, where I've come to is I think it's a lack of discernment. I think it's a lack of discernment and understanding of how we're supposed to interact with those that have disqualified themselves, whether you agree politically or not. I don't get the, like you called it, I think it's a good word, the whitewashing of who they are in order to like gain one more general on the field against the culture war, you know, and it's you're going to rot from the inside.
Yeah. I think too, it shows people, it shows your local church that sometimes you're willing to do things that just, I mean, this is starting to kind of seep into your local church in a way too. So if you're willing to basically push aside that Mark was disqualified, push aside that he ran out, he was a coward to his church, and just say, oh, let's lock arms with him because we agree with him in these ways. It shows me that if you're a local pastor and you do that, it shows me that, yeah, if you're lacking discernment in that area, what are you willing to do in other areas as well too?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm a little bit, I think I worry too about the ramifications at the local church.
Absolutely.
Just because, I mean, and I already see it in Washington State, people are coming around the Pursuit Northwest and saying, oh, like our rights. And I think there's a division here. I think I'm pretty classical two kingdoms kind of minded person. So there is a kingdom of this world that, yeah, like you live in America and you have rights that are given to you. And if other people's rights are trounced upon, yeah, like stand up for them. But there's a kingdom of the Lord's and you are in his church. And if I'm looking at that situation that had that concert was promoted by the Pursuit Northwest, involved with some other different organizations, I would say, no, you guys need to repent because you are literally having heretics like Benny Hinn come up and speak, and you're pushing him up like he's some sort of like apostle and leader of the church, and he's been a false teacher since forever.
Right.
So exactly. it's like, you know, you can't have this, you know, great facade or front and your foundation is rotting from the inside and expect it to still stand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a problem with that. I think there's just a problem, too, with just people giving away passes to leaders that are just terrible theologically. Yeah. And just because they say something politically that we might agree with, they get a pass because of that. I don't think we should give out passes. I think we should keep people accountable to their actions and what they've done. It's like, okay, you said this. I may agree with you on this, but it's like, why did you leave your church again?
Right.
Why did you do this? Why are you saying this? Why are you believing this false doctrine? So,
yeah.
Yeah, you have to be, I would say, just be consistent across the board.
Mm-hmm. No, so. I completely agree. Yeah, and like a rule I keep for myself, and it might be it might be too strict, but it has worked so far. So I'm going to keep doing it. Is I don't send people or recommend people to individuals that I would not have, that I would not be comfortable with them preaching at my church.
Mm.
Yeah. Like that, that's kind of the standard for me is would I let you preach at our church? Would I encourage those under my care to sit under your teaching? Mm. And you know what? It results in me not retweeting a lot of people. It's pretty bare.
Yeah.
There are very few people that I would be comfortable with that. And look, I'm all for, you know, Reformed Catholicity. I'm all for, you know, keeping good relationships with fellow Christians. We need that. We need the unity among the brethren. But I can't have unity with a political ideology as the thing that unites me.
Yeah.
That's not unity to me. Just because I agree with someone politically does not mean that we are going to be friends or I'm going to lock arms with them. That's not enough for me.
Yeah.
I need to know that you are solid on the gospel. I need to know that your character matches what scripture says it should match. I need to know that you're not crazy in all of these things, right? And so many people are. And it's saddening to see how much we're willing to overlook in order to, quote unquote, own the libs.
Yep.
Right? And look, this is coming. Look, I am people are going to hear this and probably like make judgment calls. I am extremely conservative.
Yeah.
All right. I do not put my political beliefs or hot takes online because they would get me banned. Okay. I grew up very, very conservative, and living in Washington is very difficult. And the main reason that I'm here is because the harvest is great and the workers are few.
Mm-hmm.
And the local church that I have has provided such life for me, right? So don't take this as trying to somehow, hamstring our ability to be a voice into the culture. It's not. It's let's make sure that we're saying the right things.
Yeah,
because it matters what we say and how we fight, right?
Yeah, and who we align ourselves with in absolutely that as well too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I want to know that the person that I'm in the trench with has the same, you know, is fighting the same war than I am, right? But if I'm in this trench with old Benedict Arnold and like they've already disqualified themselves, I'm like, well, I don't feel great about being here. Maybe I'm in the wrong trench. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's our thoughts. It could there's many, many more things that could be said, but at the end of the day, just be careful with who you align yourself with. Even if you agree with them politically, even if you think that they're doing, you know, good things for you know America and good things for your political ideology, I would encourage you that that's not the main thing. It's not. All right, there are a lot of very conservative people out there that I would agree with conservatively, that I would not touch with a 10-foot pole in terms of locking arms with them in ministry.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't. And we need to be a little bit more discerning, I think, as a local church in who we are willing to lock arms with. Yeah.
Yep. Can't say much more than that. No.
Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here? My pal.
Yeah. If you appreciate Josh and I's take here on the Reformatory, how we are focused here on the local church and the centrality it plays in the believer's life, and you want to follow us, inquire of us in different ways, send us a message, send us a DM, send us an episode idea, ask us questions, or you have comments, or maybe you have concerns. you can go over to the sure sociables, if you will, and go over to the Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will. We're on there. We're on the Instagram. Goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. Or you could go over on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. Follow us at those main sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod, like I said. follow us there. My son is trying to call out to Josh. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in our other endeavors as well.
That's right. If you do appreciate Jack and I's candor, if you appreciate where we land on certain things, there are multiple ways you can support us. What's up, Theo? It's good to see you, buddy. You can head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this as well as listen to it. Head on over to YouTube and hit the subscribe button. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. You can rate this podcast, review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. It helps get the podcast out to more people. We really do appreciate that. You can click the link in the description of this episode. Get yourself some local church merch. Super cool. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. And for $5 a month, that's all it is. Just a fiver. Right? That's it. One Starbucks drink a month. You could become a Patreon supporter and have all of the rights thereunto, bonus eps, interactions that only stay in Patreon. You get all the spicy stuff over at Patreon. We let our hair down, we let our beards down, if you will, and you get the reformatory uncensored over there. Want to know what we really think and really feel? Gotta head on over to Patreon for that. $5 a month, and if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. We will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.